Hey, welcome back, everyone. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time, my name is Christy and I'm a dermatologist in Northern Kentucky. And today we are going to be continuing our discussion about sunscreens. So today is part three of our journey and it's the final stop. We're going to be talking about chemical sunscreens and whether or not these are safe for us to use or if we should be avoiding them. So let's just start with some basics with the chemical sunscreens. So they differ compared to the physical sunscreens in a few different ways. First is their mechanism of action. So chemical sunscreens tend to absorb the sun's energy and then they convert it into heat. So this is unlike the physical blockers, zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, which tend to literally physically block the sun rays and just make them kind of bounce back off of our skin. So the second is the extent of UV coverage. There are a number of chemical sunscreens out there and whether or not they block UVA, which is again responsible for aging of the skin and for skin cancer, or UVB, which tends to be responsible for sunburn and skin cancer, really depends on which of the chemical sunscreens we're talking about. So you always have to kind of pay attention to that. This is in contrast to those physical sunscreens, zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, which again, remember, are broad spectrum. They block both UVA and UVB and even visible light. The third difference is their cosmetic feel. So these do tend to rub in and they feel more cosmetically elegant. They do not tend to leave a white sheen. And so for these reasons, a lot of people prefer these over the physical sunscreens. But the fourth and probably most important difference here that we should be paying attention to is their safety. Okay, so recall from the first podcast, we talked about how the FDA regulates sunscreens and they categorize them into different categories based upon their safety. So again, category one are those physical blockers, zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. Those are the only two that have actually been proven to be safe. Category two are those that have been deemed unsafe. They're no longer on the market. And then category three are the sunscreens that are not deemed safe yet. More studies need to be done to show that they are in fact safe. All of the chemical sunscreens are category three. So today I want to talk more about, are these chemical sunscreens safe? Does my body absorb them? Do they affect the environment? And beyond global warming and impact on animals, does the environmental impact further affect me? Okay, so safety becomes a big issue with the chemical sunscreens because it turns out that the chemical sunscreens don't stay on our skin. We absorb them. Not only that, we absorb them at levels above which the FDA recommends additional testing, and we do this after a single application. This was demonstrated in a study that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association back in 2020 that looked at six chemical sunscreens: avobenzone, oxybenzone, octacrylene, homosalate, octisalate, and octinoxate. 48 people in the study applied the sunscreens to 75% of their body just once a day on the first day of the study, followed by four times a day for the next 4 days. So this is really scary because there's evidence, at least in animal studies, that some of these chemical sunscreens may impact our hormones. So just very briefly, those that may have hormonal effects in animal studies include at least homosalate, patamate O, octinoxate, and octacrylene. Okay, so now we're just going to launch a little bit more into detail about these hormone effects. The data from this is going to be coming from studies that we're going to link in the show notes. So oxybenzone, octinoxate, and a few others, which I'm not going to list just for brevity's sake. I don't want to bore you. They do have estrogenic activity in rats. This means that the rat's body sees these chemicals as estrogen and they can activate estrogen receptors. Octinoxate, which unfortunately is in my makeup, and others are also estrogenic in fish. Now, there's some data that oxybenzone can also be anti-androgenic. So not only is it estrogenic or promoting more female characteristics, it also can block the testosterone receptor. So it works against testosterone in rats. Homosalate, which happens to be in supergoop, may block the potent form of testosterone. So that's called DHT, and that's been demonstrated in cell culture studies. The effect has not been studied in depth in humans, but theoretically, if men were to be using these sunscreens, and if they're absorbed, it could make these men more like women hormonally. Progesterone may also be affected by these chemical sunscreens in women. Homosalate, octinoxate, oxybenzone, and a few others all showed progesterone blocking abilities in cell culture research. And then in a rat study, it was confirmed that octinoxate can block progesterone. So what does that mean if we're trying to have kids? What if you're pregnant, ladies? What if you're a breastfeeding mom? Well, it's obviously concerning. So oxybenzone has been found to transfer to breast milk. It's in urine. It's been found in placental tissues, and that could mean it could affect an unborn baby. Mouse research showed that oxybenzone decreased sperm count in a dose-dependent manner. So that means that the more that the mouse got, the lower the sperm count was. Octinoxate reduced sperm counts in a rat study. And then rats exposed to oxybenzone, octinoxate, and others showed changes in their sex organ weight and appearance when using a microscope. The chemical sunscreens also changed hormone receptors in the uterus, prostate, and even the brain. Okay, so why does this matter? That meant, ultimately, it altered their sexual behavior, if you can believe it, in these studies, at least in the female rats, which I think is crazy and actually very scary. So I don't know about you. I personally want to avoid exposing myself and my children to any chemicals that could affect their sexual health, whether it be how they view themselves, others, or how their sex organs potentially function. Studies in humans looking at these hormonal effects are relatively limited, okay? But there was one study in humans that showed oxybenzone and octinoxate altered testosterone and estrogen levels in males. It decreased their sperm counts and delayed puberty. So it turns out that these hormone effects are not limited to sexual hormones like estrogen, testosterone, or progesterone. They actually also may affect our thyroid hormones. So this has been specifically shown in rat studies looking at octinoxate and actually another one that we haven't talked a lot about, but something called a camphor derivative. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that have thyroid problems. It seems like the thyroid issues are increasing in the world. And I don't know if it's possible if the sunscreens could be driving this, but I have to wonder, or we have to wonder, if they're at least playing a role in this issue. One thing we don't know at all so far about these chemical sunscreens is whether or not they affect cancer risk. The studies really honestly are just not there. So even though we talked a lot about animal and cell culture studies, for me, it's enough to want to avoid chemical sunscreens altogether. What I find really scary though is that even if I want to avoid these chemical sunscreens, I don't know how well I can actually do that. For one, these sunscreens are found in a lot of other products. They're found in perfumes, they can be found in lipsticks, hairsprays, and conditioners. So this is definitely true, at least for oxybenzone, because they can stabilize the products if they're exposed to UV. They also apparently can enhance the fragrance of the product. Not only that though, it turns out that these chemical sunscreens accumulate in our water supply and in our environment. Water filtration plants are apparently not very successful at being able to get rid of them when they're trying to purify water. So it's possible that you may be drinking them in any city water. They also wash off in the ocean when we're swimming, and they can affect animals in the environment. Yes, it's true. The impact is not limited to animals and just research studies. So studies show that tend to bioaccumulate and they're stored in fat. So they're getting stored in these animals, but they're also affecting the hormones in the animals as well. And if we eat the fish, for example, we're likely then eating these chemical sunscreens. One study looked at oxybenzone levels in urine of adults, and 97% of those adults had them. Looking at 30 people that otherwise had no contact with oxybenzone, 90% of them had oxybenzone in their urine. I found that totally alarming. And honestly, that means that we are probably getting exposed to these sunscreens, not just through sunscreen, but potentially through other means as well, including our environment. So my conclusions from this are a few. One, one, we should be drinking purified water. Two, we should really back down as a population on our use of chemical sunscreens before our environment is so polluted with them that we can never avoid them. Can you imagine a scenario, honestly, where future studies on these sunscreens show that they are in fact dangerous to our sexual and reproductive health, our development, our thyroid function, for all I even know, cancer risk? Again, the studies just aren't there. And then what can we do at that point if they're so widespread in our environment and we can't get rid of them? It's going to be a huge problem potentially. So lastly, one final aside is that please know these are in fact harming our animals and our environment too. Octinoxate and oxybenzone were found to be a cause of coral reef bleaching, leading to a loss of whole aquatic ecosystems. In Hawaii and now a lot of areas around the world, these two chemical sunscreens are prohibited. They've been shown to damage immune systems and reproductive systems in sea urchins. They decrease fertility and cause female characteristics in fish. They've been shown to induce defects in young mussels, in black growth and photosynthesis of algae. I want to protect our environment, and for this reason too, I will personally choose to avoid these chemical sunscreens. All right, well that wraps up our discussion on sunscreen. I promise to be thorough, but not overwhelm you with future podcasts. If you want to learn more about how to improve your skin health in natural ways, please sign up for our email newsletter. In it, we're going to share with you additional insights and actionable steps that you can take to have healthy skin and a healthy life. Go to mdcrafted.co and sign up. Please note that if the link says that Drew is going to send you a free download, he's just having some technical issues with the email automation right now. Send us a DM on our Instagram and we'll be sure to get this to you next time. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to message us. We're happy to answer them. And if you like this podcast, please do so and share so with your friends.